Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. I'm not great. As the day
Oh,
gets longer, it's early.
it's early. You have to get used to daylight again.
Well, I've been sitting inside for the past week or so teaching at Barbara Brennan. So I'm used to getting up early, and this would be a day of contraction, slow contraction, and relaxation. That's okay. And you? You're great.
I've been ice skating like the past 4 days. So, we've been living this free life on the ice, being really Dutch. Going deep into our roots, just ice skating, cold and nice weather with a lot of sunshine, no clouds. It was marvelous.
And you had a chance to hang out with your daughter and get out of the house.
Yes, and nobody was, like controlling us. They are all the time like, you come too close. Don't come too close. You get a fine if you come within a certain distance. And then, well, you get very nervous about it. But now, like policemen, they don't get on skates to warn you. Or so we felt really free this past few days. It was nice.
That sounds amazing. I can't ice skate, so I wouldn't have enjoyed myself.
No,
No.
probably not. No, it has to be in your genes somehow, and I guess all, but I invited a friend to come skating, a normal Dutch guy, He said, no, better not.
Yeah, I would be in the hospital for
He was not comfortable with the way he looked. He said I would look like so stiff and so not used to it. So I'll pass. But most Dutch people, though, they really like it, and something goes on inside of us, and then we have to go. We have to go. Even in a time of, this total lockdown where we don't have a lot of freedom, we all went out and just enjoyed the moment. Yeah, that was great.
Sounds amazing. Sounds like a lot of fun. Did you make snowballs, snowmen, or?
No, they made a lot of igloos. It didn't really stick, It was not the right snow for snowballs.
Got it.
Yeah, you have different kinds of snow apparently, but not this one was not for snowballs and snow dolls. It was like,
Snow dolls.
how do you say that?
I don't know. I live in Miami, so
Yeah,
we
you
don't
don't
get a lot of
know.
snow.
Yeah.
Snow dolls, cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to see one. I know that you guys in the Netherlands do pretty well in the Winter Games, the Olympics.
Yeah, sure, we do. Yeah, especially the ice skating. We are, top of the world in something. We are. Yeah,
Yeah.
especially ice skating. Yeah.
So, are you looking forward to the Olympic Games?
Well, we don't know yet if they go through. I mean, they say they will, but I'm not so sure yet.
Right.
Yeah. So, but usually, I like to watch. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do too. I love the Summer Olympics. I also love the Winter Olympics. For me, it's more of looking at how the competitors prepare themselves for 4 years to compete. Whether they win gold or not, that intention to do something, to make something, to manifest something.
Yeah.
It's there.
That's like a nice bridge. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we wanted to talk about today, about intention and manifestation. Because you call yourself like the Hara dude on your Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What does it mean?
Well,
and why?
That's the name that people call me, the Hara dude. The Hara is a dimension of intentionality, as we teach it at the Barbara Brennan School. But it doesn't come from Barbara Brennan. It actually comes, it's a Japanese term. Okay. And I learned about it when I was training in martial arts years ago. Okay. There's a place of no emotion, no mind, center, being in the zone. And it comes through a period of practice and letting go of fear. Okay. And the samurai were well known for having strong hearts. And the country right now that I'm aware of has the strongest overall heart is Japan.
Hmm.
They have that warrior code, the Budo code or mentality. It's very structured. And again, it's devoid of a lot of emotion. Which is also for them a negative thing because they have a difficulty dealing with emotions and fear, things like that.
Yeah. So it has an upside and a downside.
It does. It does.
Yeah. And you said what the word, the Budo?
Budo.
Yeah, what's that?
Budo is a classification of the traditional martial arts of Japan and Okinawa.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's several different martial arts, and they have the code. It's so you could say it's a an art form, a style, or a code. Okay. So there's karate do, judo, kendo, naginata, aikido, and a few other styles that are not coming to me at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, so you trained. What did you train?
Oh my goodness, that's a lot. I trained in a lot of different styles of martial arts. I started in Taekwondo, and it was my first art and at the time my favorite art. Then from Taekwondo, I began training in Shaolin, Northern Shaolin Kung Fu, and modern Wushu. Tai Chi, Bagua. I went to China and I studied Bagua in 1997. I trained with the Beijing Wushu team. And if you're familiar with Jet Li, the actor, he was one of the first world champions, all-around world champions, when he was 12 years old, I believe. And I trained under one of his coaches, Wu Ben. It was it was stressful. It was fun, and I really understood intentionality.
Yeah. So how? I mean, that is such a different way of training it than the way I, you know, got to know it, I guess.
Yeah. So how did you get to know it, and then maybe we'll circle back.
Yeah, I got to know it through Barbara Brennan, and one thing she said I always remembered, and that was that energy follows intention. So that always stuck with me, and then I started to live from that. I knew that if I set my intention, then the energy will follow. So that's how I learned by doing it, by, you know, what happens then is that your life starts to change, and then you have to deal with the consequences of your intention. That's something I learned by doing. So, and then gradually I would reach the destination and the manifestation of the thing I longed for. So now, later, after like, you know, 15 years after graduation, or 10 years, I'm not sure, it goes quicker and quicker. So before, you had to go through a whole process, and then, well, there was like a whole deconstruction of the way I was, of my personality, that was in the way of the manifestation of the things I really longed for. But now it goes much quicker, then I only have to think about it maybe, and then it starts to happen already. The manifestation, yeah. without a lot of process in between,
right.
Or maybe a very short and intense process. Yeah. So that's how I got to know it, and more in, yeah, and also, of course, in practicing the healings, the Hara healings.
Mm-hmm.
But that was also funny, because I remember one time I had injured my foot. So in the fourth year, or at the end of the third year. So I wasn't really great at Hara in the fourth year, because my foot was injured. So I couldn't really stand on 2 feet and be in a straight line. And so the teacher said that I shouldn't be practicing Hara healings then, because I wasn't doing Hara very well because of my foot. And he said, you cannot do the Hara healings.
Mm.
So one day we were practicing Hara healings, except me. But then I thought, well, it came very natural to me, because then I imagined myself to be a mountain,
mm-hmm.
just be a mountain. And I felt very strong and very grounded and very like no emotions. But I wasn't doing Hara, I was doing mountain. And then afterwards my client said, this was a Hara healing. I said, no, it was a mountain healing. So I worked my way around it.
A mountain healing.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I think that you were definitely, when you shared the story, I could feel the strength in your story and the intention. So it felt solid to me.
Yeah. And that's how, it's more like it was something also like, this was more like a shamanistic healing maybe, you know, where you identify or become one with nature, with mountains and birds and wind and everything. So that felt like innate, like it's in me, like it was already present. We were not being taught like these kind of healings, mm-hmm. but I was doing them anyway. So I feel like it's all also something that's there in your memory, in your cellular memory or your DNA or something like that,
right?
Which can be activated and then comes out. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. So if I describe the four dimensions of humankind, okay, that we talk about a lot, the first dimension would be the core star dimension. So imagine that we're just in our core essence before we incarnate as humans. We're looking down on the earth and saying, hey, earth looks like a really cool place to learn some stuff. let's go down there. So we search around for the right family member, the right mother, the right father to help us learn our lessons, whatever that life lesson is. Okay. So in our essence, we're perfect. There's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no emotion. But we, these spiritual beings that we are, say, hey, I'd love to learn what it's like to feel love, to feel anger, to feel sadness. So I'm going to choose these two people, go down, communicate with them on a spiritual level so that they can help me learn this lesson. So then the core essence goes to the dimension of Hara, sets the intention to incarnate. And that intention is pure. Okay. Then from there, we go through the seven levels of the auric field, pick up all of these different radio waves, if you want to call it, those thoughts, negative thoughts or the positive thoughts, and we start to accumulate all of these thoughts. They come all the way down into our physical bodies, into our DNA. And not only that, we're picking up the issues and thoughts and beliefs of our parents and our culture and, you know, where we live and our country, whatever. All of that goes into our makeup. And as we start to grow, we start to have traumas, issues, negative thoughts, experiences, so that we can ultimately, the goal is to go back to our core star, to our essence.
Yay!
As I was talking about it, I was
so yeah, me too. That's what I always think. Why do we incarnate and then go back and then, you know, what have we done?
Yeah, that's a, wow, it's a little masochistic, I guess.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. No, we've been doing something then. We've been adding to the universal consciousness.
Absolutely. That's it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Rather than, so my understanding is that we come here, experience being a human, so that when we do evolve, we can evolve in our human bodies with the knowledge of the spiritual beings or the enlightened beings. So we can repair our bodies. We don't have to get sick anymore. We can go from planet to planet and, you know, hear each other's thoughts and be one with, like you were saying, you were one with everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had an experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I do, but at the same time, I feel like that I'm very, you know, like very normal. In a way that there are a lot of people who awaken to energy or light or soul or whatever, and they go through this phase of really enlightenment, this spiritual mm-hmm. they see this spiritual outlook mm-hmm. and I'm not sure if I, you know, if I have that, but at the same time, I do, you know, I can really talk about or write about really spiritual subjects mm-hmm. and I don't know where it's coming from. So that's a bit weird in my case, I guess I do not, you know, I've said that before, like I don't have any guides or like really this breakthroughs, or it goes very gradually, very step by step,
right?
Very in a very normal human way, I guess. Yeah. So, and that's also what I would like my clients or other people to do, to go there step by step, not to, you know, long for the liberation in the end, because it's there. And at the same time, you're doing it moment to moment. Yeah.
Moment to moment. I like that. So yeah. Imagine that you are experiencing those things. You set your intention when you were a child.
Yeah.
To do something in life. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. I do have strong intentions. You know, I know that whatever I want, I can achieve. But it's not like, you know, you start meditating and then it suddenly the universe throws it at your feet. It's more like I have my intention and then the process follows where I have to let go of certain people, maybe, or ideas or personality traits that I have that are in my way. So I go through my pain, I heal, and then I have to also take action sometimes, or do things that I find really scary. Go in front of a lot of people, or, you know, lead a ceremony for for groups of people. I really find that very scary. But in my transformational process, it's very important that I do that. So then I stick to my intention. So my intention is like my guideline. Yeah, if you want to be famous, or if you want to be, you know, if you want to, whatever you want to achieve something big, then you have to be prepared also to go to difficult or scary or painful things. You have to surrender sometimes, and you have to give up sometimes some, you know, other things that you, yeah, that you don't need anymore. So it's more, to me, it's more like a guideline and a way of keeping my focus. Yeah, to be very focused. So if you want to create a podcast, then you have to be there every Monday from 3 to 5 and then work your way around it.
Totally.
You know, yeah, so things like that, it's just being focused. For me, it's really strong focus. And then I know that in the end, I will achieve. But maybe it has a different form than what I thought it would be in the beginning. Or it might be smaller than I thought in the beginning, but it has been very rewarding to get there.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the way I work with it. Yeah, there's a longing and something I really, really want, or something that I really want to experience in my life or add to my life. And then I set my intention and make sure it happens. And then, yeah, if the shit breaks up, then you have to deal with that. You know? And with intention, and with, you know, really strong intentions, you're sure it's going to happen, that there's going to be a shitload of consequences, not always very easy to deal with. Yeah.
Exactly. So when you asked me about the martial arts, for me, as a child, I've shared my struggles with physical abuse and other things, and being bullied. Well, my intention at that time was to learn how to protect my mom, for one, and to defend myself against bullies.
Yeah.
Didn't know what that meant. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was watching television. There was a commercial, and there was this man, his name was Jun Ri. He was the master, or the founder, of American Karate. That's what they called it. Okay. He was a Taekwondo practitioner. And he was one of the first people who had organized schools in the U.S. And he had a commercial. And on that commercial, he was doing these amazing kicks and punches and breaking boards. And at the end of the commercial, his two children come on the, at the end, and the little girl says, "Nobody bothers me." And then in her brain says, "Nobody bothers me either." And he did a little wink. And it was as if he was talking to me directly, you know? Yeah. And so I said, "I'm going to learn." Everything was karate to me, so it didn't matter the style. "I'm going to learn this in order to do this." But I didn't understand that I was setting my intention at that moment. It was a longing. It came from a longing, like you said. And it took me a number of years. I was about 3 or 4 at that time. And I didn't start martial arts training until 13, formal training. informal, through books and through neighbors or friends who had trained. But my formal training started when I was 13. And from that very moment, I walked into the Dojang, which is the name for the Korean martial arts training center. I knew I was home.
Mm, yeah.
So my focus was learning as much as I could. Still did not understand why. So I trained every day, several hours a day, because I thought that's what you needed to do in order to be a serious martial artist. While I was, I'm going to get myself in trouble. While I was training at the school, I was also really involved in watching martial arts movies on television. My favorite movie was, I had a few favorites. Bruce Lee was always my favorite. My favorite traditional movie was a movie called The Master Killer. And it was about a guy who had been bullied, and he went to the Shaolin Temple to seek asylum and to train in martial arts so that he could go back and help his people. So this guy trained every single day, hardcore, and he went through the progression really quickly. They would look at him and say, wow, this guy, Santae, he's moving more quickly than we ever imagined. Okay. And that was his intention. His longing was to help his people. His longing was to take the martial arts back so that they could fight against the oppressors. So I could relate to that. Okay. And it wasn't until I went into therapy, I think I was about 22, 23, and I was telling my story to the therapist at the time, and I had no attachment to the story. She's like, oh my God, you've been through hell. It's like, yeah. And she asked me, why did you choose to do the martial arts? Oh, because I always liked it and blah, blah, blah. And I saw the story. She said, oh, I'm wondering if you were learning the martial arts to defend yourself against your father. And that was the moment that it hit. That, oh, yeah. Wow. So I was living my life focused on one thing and missing everything else. My focus was just get to this level so that I can do this thing. And so when you talk about manifesting, I was manifesting, but I had tunnel vision. And I couldn't allow myself to have any joy because I was on a mission. And I see that, and the reason I asked about the athletes in the Olympics is because they had that same thing. They had that same focus. They focus on winning a championship, and they miss out on everything else. So that's a negative piece of
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I think my first, you know, my intention that I had was to be, you know, to be happy. I just wanted to be happy. So that was the one that I had first when I came to school. And one of the other ones was that I wanted to be psychic, that I really wanted to be able to see and feel or whatever energy, to be able to work with that. So that was a strong intention. But they were always born from a longing to grow, or, you know, to be more, or to be something that I knew I was also. Yeah. And now my intentions are more about, you know, about doing this work and creating more awareness and reaching more people in whatever way possible. And especially because I think it's very important work, because when you start to work with energy and the different levels of who you are, you start to become multidimensional. And that's where I feel really home. When I'm able to, you know, to be a physical and an emotional and a soulful and a divine being. And when I can be in my intentionality at the same time and, you know, work from all these different levels of myself. And that's when I feel happy. Yeah. If you become only, you know, identified with one of those levels, with your intention, for example, or your emotions and or your mental levels, then you're so one-sided or so one-dimensional. I think it's boring. I think it's really boring. And like you said, tunnel vision. It's there where you start to die in a, you know, where you don't feel vibrant and alive anymore. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I have like many intentions, but they work best when they don't involve, you know, like earning a lot of money. And that's where, you know, a lot of these spiritual or like these secret kind of workshops are about, that you can make like a ton of money and be rich without work, having to work a lot. And I don't really believe that. I mean, it works for some people. It does work. But it doesn't work for anybody. So it works more, I think, when you focus on the things you really long for. When it's traveling, then just travel and then feel assured that you have enough money to do the traveling, that the money is just like your support system, something like that.
So money with
the goal, not the goal.
Not the goal, but yeah. It's the things that the money can provide you with.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I, with my intention, I can manifest anything. And I'm still, you know, sometimes worried about the money. Mm-hmm. But if I just do it, I notice that there's always enough money to do it. So I can do anything, but it doesn't mean that I have a big bank account or something. But I could do anything because the energy or the money is like endless. But you need to let it flow. Just to get, you have to spend it in a way. In my case, I have to spend it to be able to get it back to me, to let it flow back to me.
Right.
It's like a circular process.
Okay.
That's how it works for me. But I think the focus in a lot of, well, more commercial workshops on manifestation, it's a lot on the money or making a lot of money, and I don't think that's the goal. Yeah,
I agree with you. When I ask for whatever it is that I ask for, it's more about the abundance, receiving the abundance of the universe.
Yeah.
Because you can actually have a lot of limitations, set limitations upon yourself by being so specific. And that sometimes for short-term things, it is important to be very specific.
Yeah, it does help. And it also helps for your process. You know, if you really want to achieve something, then the more concrete intentions help. Because then you feel when you bump up against your own limitations. Like the other day, one of my clients said, I really would like to buy a house and I have the means to do it. I can do it. And then she got scared. Mm-hmm. So does she really want to buy the house, or is it maybe, you know, maybe something else that's in the way before she can buy the house? So it really supports your process, you know, to have this concrete kind of intentions. But I really like abundance too, because with abundance, it's like love and experiences that are nurturing and, you know, leading a good life, leading a life of, you know, fulfillment. I think that's the goal at the end, is fulfillment. Fulfillment and and expressing your unique self.
So you've talked about intentionality, and then now you're mentioning the unique self being the core qualities of each of us.
And you need intention to bring that across, you know, from the core start to the physical world. That's where it needs to be.
Right. So if we go back to my focus, understood that my focus, after I understood what my focus was, I could let it go because it wasn't as important. It wasn't the thing that I needed. My focus was to teach people, overall teach people how to defend themselves, how to stand up against oppression, bullying. So I focused on teaching children and mainly women, okay, because of my situation. And that has manifested in so many different ways. It's led me to the Barbara Brennan School, okay, because my partner at the time was the one who introduced me to the school. She met me through a martial arts class that I was teaching. And I went to China, came back. She had gone to a Barbara Brennan workshop, which, you know, all of those things coming together lead us to our deepest longing, whatever that deeper longing is.
Yeah.
So the deeper longing is to connect with people or to discover who you are or heal, then the universe starts to align with that intention and provide you opportunities. And the piece that I want to make clear to people is you have to be open. Be open to receiving, being open to looking for the signs, or when the signs, you know, appear, not to take it for granted. Say, oh, okay, I'd like to look into this a little more. Because I missed a lot of signs.
You did? Yeah?
Well, okay. So my psychic ability, I guess we want to call it, or high sense perception, was amazing growing up.
Okay. Yeah. When you were younger, you mean then?
When I was younger, until actually I went to the Brennan School.
How ironic.
But the thing was, is I was so hypervigilant, I was tapped into the negative pieces.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to see anything positive for the most part.
Yeah.
So I would know when something horrible was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate to that. Yes.
Yeah. And when I went to Brennan, my first week there, my high sense perception shut down. And I was freaking out because this is my good friend here. He's colluding with me. So I had to relearn.
Yeah. Yeah.
A wild thing, man.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
I had the ability through martial arts. I met a lot of people who were practicing spirituality, and they introduced me to a lot of books. One of the books, I believe it was the Autobiography of a Yogi.
Hmm,
I started reading it.
Yeah, that's great. I like that too.
Yeah. Well, I liked it until I did something that he did in the book.
Like what? What did you do? You were at two places at the same time?
Did
you
bilocate?
No.
I had experienced that before.
Oh, you did that.
Yeah.
You start to, you know, elevate.
No, I wish so. That would be cool.
Yeah.
That's something I want to work toward.
Yeah.
No, I was able to manifest instantaneously.
Ah, cool.
So, just as an experiment, I think he said that he thought about some type of callus or something on his wrist. Okay. And so the person I was with at that time, I was talking about it and I said, I'm going to check it out and see if it works. The next morning, I had this really huge callus, hard callus on my wrist.
Yeah, that's something you want to manifest.
Here's the thing. I didn't read through the next chapter to see that he regretted doing that, right?
And now you did too.
And oh man, it was freaking me out so badly that every day I would go into the studio and I would see this thing and I would get so frustrated that I think, oh, I gotta break it apart. I can't do this. And it taught me a really good lesson. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful with what you're doing, because it does happen. It may not happen the way you think it will, but it happens.
And the other part of it is that be careful what you wish for because you have to sacrifice often something else. That's what I learned.
Where were you back then? What?
I always thought, what a lame kind of way of, be careful what you wish for. Whatever. I thought, why? But then I started to realize how many sacrifices there are before you can be this really powerful healer, really psychic, or reaching a lot of people. It's not that funny at all. It is, and it's not. It is, and it's not. Yeah.
Yeah,
So you have to build your power somehow. And
definitely.
so, and intention also, because I really wanted to ask you, how does it feel? It's also to me, if I see martial artists, it's also very grounded,
Oh, yeah,
very
absolutely.
much in the body. That's what I like about it.
Grounded in the body. Yes, absolutely grounded in the body, present moment. This is where a lot of the new agey things like mindfulness come from, martial arts and yoga training, and then added in with meditation. But so many people miss the true intention of all of these things. They focus on it for one thing. Well, the martial artist, the true martial artist, I'm not talking about practitioners or just fighters, true martial artists like the samurai, the ninja, the Shaolin monks, and other people, they understood the process. They understood that it's a grounding, sacrifice, the blood, sweat, and tears, which is the reason that there is a belt system at all. The black belt comes from judo, okay? Everyone would wear a white uniform or gi, and they would have a white belt. So, at the beginning, their belt would become a little discolored, okay, from the sweat, and that turns the belt yellow. And then they're throwing each other on the ground and in the grass in the spring, and the belt becomes green. And then when they've destroyed the grass, it's just dirt, and then the belt becomes brown. And then, as you start to increase, you're going up against more difficult competition, and that's the blood. The belt's red, and all of those colors together,
It's
black.
black. Nice.
Yeah,
Cool.
and that comes from that intention. Whatever that intention is on that first day that you walk in, you're being tested to see if you have the strength of character, to see if you have what it takes to endure before you're even accepted as a student.
And also to stay centered in yourself,
Right.
to not let you be distracted by other people. Because I noticed it. I noticed it this weekend with my daughter. We went ice skating, and she's really good. You know, she's faster than I am, and her legs are way shorter. So, you know, her technique, her speed, it's great. But as soon as she starts to look at where I am when we're doing a competition, then she gets out of balance and she slows down. But as long as she stays focused on herself, then she... I really have to cry about this. My 9-year-old, she beats me. She really beats me.
Get used to it.
It's terrible.
That's ego.
I know. But it's also nice to see, you know, and I could really teach her that very early in life also, that if she stays focused on herself, then, you know, then her power is the biggest. Or
So would you say, if we were to summarize everything, that it starts with a longing?
Yeah.
And then a positive intention?
Yeah.
And then to look for ways that you can be supported, changing way of thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, and going, then you go through the creation process, which is a lot of letting go and, you know, letting in. Yeah, letting the old things go and letting the new things in.
And sometimes letting the old things means letting go of distortions, negative energy, negative friends.
Yeah.
And then trusting and having faith.
Yeah, and also... You know, yeah, exactly. And then it takes time, you know, then to really have faith that some things, and the bigger the intention, the longer it might take. You know, small things you might easily manifest. But if you want to, you know, manifest your perfect life and your soulmate and everything, it might take some time. So because the earthly conditions are much slower than the energetic dimensions. So,
on the energetic dimensions or the higher dimensions, it's already happened as soon as you think it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can feel it. I mean, you can really feel, and that's the other part. You know, you have to feel it. That's already, it is already there. It's the potential and the potential and the energy. It's there. You only have to connect with it, but bring it in the earth or in matter, into matter. That takes time. So make it solid. That takes time.
And bringing in all of the senses. So your sense of smell, touch, visual,
everything. Hearing. Yeah.
All of those
help
you to manifest.
Yeah, I always say, tell people to really use your imagination, you know, the full spectrum of your imagination. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So feeling what it's like to, let's say you wanted, what's a car that people like in your BMW or Mercedes or something?
Yeah, I like the BMW.
Okay. So BMW. You have to sit in that car.
Yeah.
Right here, right now.
Yeah.
As if you already have it. Smell the leather.
Yeah. Feel it.
Feel it. See the color. See yourself. Yeah. As if you're looking out of the window.
Here. Yeah, and then when the option comes that you can buy it, then don't think then I do not have enough money. I mean, just buy it. I mean, then trust also. You know, you might go through some issues there that you don't deserve it, or it's not the time yet, or you're scared that what people might think of you driving in such a car, or, you know, you might come up might bump against all these images and beliefs. Right. So yeah, I have to work through that.
Exactly, exactly. That's the whole working through the auric field stuff.
Yeah.
Then allowing yourself to know that you're worthy. So yeah. Letting go of all of those distorted thinking.
Yeah, and receive. You have to be able to receive. You have to open your heart to be able to receive. And receive, you can receive anything like the material object, but also, you know, love or a soulmate or
right.
whatever, the work you really long to do.
Right.
Yeah, but you have to be able to receive and know that you're worth it or that you can, you know, that you're able to do this work. You really have to believe that. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen.
And believe as that it's already happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or happening, not yeah. some future thing.
No, and I think you long for something for a reason because it belongs to you. If not, you wouldn't be longing for it, I guess.
That's you know. True.
Yeah, you want it because it is something in your system that needs to be expressed or manifested or drawn to you or, yeah.
Sounds like you have it down. I can't wait for you to manifest your jet so that you can fly.
No, as I said before, I'm not really into these material objects, except for I really would like to manifest a house, mm-hmm. you know, but to have a really cool place to live. That's what I really would like to have. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But, you know, something in nature where I feel really at home. Yeah.
In and the where cold. I... Or yeah. someplace warm.
No, I'm starting in, you know, in the Netherlands. So I have to, you know, I also have a kid. I'm not going to emigrate to some warm country and raise my kid there. We have a good system here.
I like doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to offer her also, you know, these freedoms. Well, not in this time. I'm not sure if it will be the same in like 5 or 10 years, but you know, mm-hmm. until now it's pretty good to grow up here. Yeah.
So as we're ending, would you recommend that people use things like vision boards or write things yeah. down?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Make a vision board of all your dreams. Write because, you know, writing is one way to connect the different sides of your brain together mm-hmm. with the more intuitive, with the more logical or rational, to bring the energy into, you know, the real world, in this world. Yeah, write and also express yourself in, you know, in any way. Because the throat chakra is about expression, is about also, you know, manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
So really use your throat for singing, but also for expressing whatever lives inside you. Yeah.
And also accept challenges from other people and attach yourself to mentors, people who have accomplished different things yeah. that you want to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah, and also that words have manifesting power. You know, your words are, well, they are powerful. But
the vibration.
The vibration of your words are powerful. So be very, you know, very aware of the way you express. Yeah.
State things in a positive way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is cool.
Yeah.
I love talking to you about this. This is great.
Yeah,
this
me
is
too.
One of my things that I love to do and teach people how to manifest.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, how do you say it? To be continued.
To be continued. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, enjoy the winter there. I'm going to enjoy the nice weather here.
Yeah. It's tragic. Today is tragic. It's only raining and it's totally depressed, but okay. I'll handle that. You enjoy yourself.
Thank you. Good to
be
see
happy.
You.
Be happy there. Have a happy life.
Bye.
Bye-bye.